Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowett. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. He's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, David.
I'd like to get an update on the contract negotiations by the unionized staff of the Chicago Reader.
There's really not much to update on. There hadn't been negotiations in a while.
Let me set the stage here a little bit. In May 2017, the Reader's unionized staff unanimously authorized a strike against the paper's owner, a corporation known as Rapports. And contract negotiations had gone on for 16 months, right?
I'll take your word on that.
Okay. Later, after the strike vote, Rapports announced it wanted to sell the Reader and its other property, the Sun-Times, and a company called Trunk, which owns the Chicago Tribune, had made a bid. And since then, a group of investors and the union have also made a bid.
Not our union, just so you know, several unions.
So where are you guys at with the strike?
Our vote was a strike authorization vote, which means we could go on strike if we chose to. We did not literally vote to go on strike.
You authorized a strike.
Yeah, we gave the bargaining unit the authority to declare a strike.
What are the mechanics of actually going on strike?
I don't know. You know, we never got to that point. Right. I don't know. That's a good question. The Tribune said it was going to buy the Sun-Times and the Reader. So Rapports is the entity that owns the Sun-Times and the Reader. And so suddenly we don't know who we're negotiating with.
But they're not the owners yet.
That is correct. But the people that we had been negotiating with were about to be purchased by another entity. So suddenly we're like, okay, I guess we're not negotiating with Rapports. We're going to be negotiating with Trunk. Now there's a new set of potential buyers. So right now we're kind of in limbo because we don't know who's going to own the Reader or the Sun-Times, for that matter. It's a really uncertain time for the Reader and for the Sun-Times, too, I imagine. And I have to say that I really applaud everybody at the Reader for carrying on. I mean, our staff is, there's not a whole lot of us there. People have left, it's gone on with their lives, and we haven't replaced all of them yet. I presume we will, but we just haven't yet. My editor, my own particular editor, Robin Amer, I don't know if you know her, but she moved on. She got a job. I can't remember where she's working now, but she got a new job and she did really well for herself. God bless her.
When did she leave?
You ask tough questions, Dave.
It's my job.
It was right in the middle of all this. This has like been within a month. Everything that you're describing, we're talking about, like strike authorization vote, the announcement that the Tribune wanted. Notice I never say Trunk. A Tribune is going to buy Rapports, the counteroffer from the unions and Edwin Eisendrath. So all that has happened within a month. So Robin's leaving was somewhere in the middle.
That's a big loss.
It was a big loss to me. She, a great editor, enjoyed working with her immensely. But I'm happy for her. She's going to do well. She's really talented.
Are you still on the negotiation team?
Yeah, but again, we haven't negotiated in I don't know how long.
Since the strike authorization?
Let me think. Hold on now. Hold on. Have we had I don't think we've had a negotiation.
It was like May 17th.
Yeah, because really, I'm telling you, you have to look at the chronology. I believe that the Tribune announcement came very soon after that strike authorization vote. I don't think there's any correlation between the two. And I'm like, I know what we'll do. We're going to buy them, and that'll really put them in a pickle.
Reportedly, it was Rapport's idea to sell.
Yeah, I don't know. How do I know? And it's not like anybody, the decision-making, you know, it's like not Rapport's calls me up. Ben, here's the situation. We're going to... Nobody's cluing me in, that's for sure.
So the negotiating team has...
Yeah, we're just waiting. We're basically waiting
to see, what's
to see
happen.
You know, how this shakes out, as they say. And then we figure out what we're going to do. And that's why I really applaud the people at the Reader. I mean, so many of them are just putting out the product. And the same thing with my beloved Sun-Times. I mean, it's really a shaky time. We don't know what our future is. On top of all the uncertainties about journalism in general, there's this particular situation that we're with, so I have no idea how this is going to shake out.
And there's another player involved, namely the U.S. Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Once Rapports announced that it had a bidder in Trunk, or the owners of the Tribune, the Department of Justice stepped in with essentially antitrust concerns, saying that they had jurisdiction and had to bless that sale. And then the group of investors and the unions came in to be an alternative bidder, And again, the Department of Justice will have a seat at the table to decide.
So the ins and the outs of that, that's a whole other ballgame. That's like a complicated, convoluted thing. And how insistent will the Justice Department, the Trump Justice Department, I might add. So we're really in limbo land, and we're carrying on, I think, admirably. I really can't say that enough. You know, the staffers at the Reader, really, you know, they're doing their job under very trying circumstances. They just put out the, you know, one issue after another. I mean, and they've got an online presence. So it's a, what can I tell you, Dave? It's a very uncertain time.
I'm guessing that most of the Reader staff, like many journalists in Chicago, don't want to see one company own all the Sun-Times, the Tribune, and the Reader.
Well, I can speak for myself on this, and I think that's not a good, healthy situation. I believe we really should have two independent newspapers in town. I've said this on the air so many times.
So some of those people might be having to put their faith in, as you say, the Trump Justice Department.
That is what we call irony, isn't it, Dave? The Trump Justice Department coming to the rescue of a really healthy, vibrant journalism community in the city of Chicago. Like, that's at the top of their
list.
It's
at least unexpected, if not ironic.
I mean, I'm like you, been around a long time, so we remember old-timers like ours. We could well, there were four newspapers in the city of Chicago.
More than that.
Well, they're more than that, but in my lifetime. I'm not that old, but let's see. My lifetime, when I first started reading newspapers in Chicago, there was the Sun-Times, there was the Daily News, there was Chicago Today, which was an offshoot of Chicago American, so we'll count that as one. And then, of course, there was the Tribunal. So that's four daily newspapers. Now, I only read two. Back in those days when I was in junior high and high school, my family got, name the two that my family got. Let's see if you can do this.
Your family in Evanston?
Yes, sir.
Well, I had to be the Tribune. Oh, wait, it's your family.
So my family's not reading the Tribune?
The Sun-Times and the American.
No, man. I moved to Evanston in 1966 from Rhode Island, and I come from a very liberal New Deal Democratic background. My parents have been Democrats their whole life. I could count it on one hand the number of times they voted Republican, and they wanted nothing to do with the Chicago Tribune.
I'm sorry. I went to Evanston when you said that. I didn't think about it. The Jarofsky family.
The Jarofsky family in Evanston. And Evanston was a Republican town when I moved there, but by 1972, by the time I was in high school, was already becoming Democrat. In 1974, Abner Mikva won the congressional seat, which was largely in Evanston, and that was like the indication that things had changed. And now, of course, Evanston's one of the most liberal cities in the state of Illinois, right up there with Chicago. So my family got the Daily News, and we got the Sun-Times, and we got the New York Times. Then the Daily News folded, and we got my beloved Bright One, which I've been reading ever since, all right?
Loyally.
Very loyally. So I believe that you need a liberal voice. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a liberal voice. It's not going to be a green voice. It's not going to be, you know, the progressive voice, whatever the name is for.
Center left.
Okay, center left voice. Hey, it's better than a right wing voice. I think the Sun-Times, they really dropped the ball in the Rauner election. There's no doubt about it. But other than that, they've been pretty good. Sometimes I even get mad at their editorials. God, I can't believe you're writing this.
They're not perfect.
They're not perfect, but they're a lot better than the Tribunal. And so I'm really rooting for the Sun-Times to emerge from all this as an independent newspaper with an independent liberal voice, at least liberal voice, that represents more or less the people who live in Chicago, who I may remind you, Dave, voted 80%+ for Obama. And who was before Obama, if I could do this, Kerry, Gore. So we're not a Republican city. Why would we want a Republican voice representing us editorial? It makes no sense. And so at least one of the two newspapers should be liberal. So that's kind of my point of view. And I've been hammering away, and I'm not sure anyone listens to it, but I'm still hammering away.
Keep going, Ben. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, we always welcome your comments. You can tweet us on Twitter at CHIGOVT. Our Facebook page is InsideGov. That's Inside G-O-V. You can email us at any time via contact at CHIGOV.com. You can check out our audiobook. You can go to audible.com and search for Ben Jarofsky. You can also find it on iTunes. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.